Ohio players. This is Danny Day with the best music at 5:04 in the afternoon.
From Hear the Cue, Call Us to Win. All weekend, a winner, an hour, and sometimes more.
You fall out of bed on your new mode head and say, good morning, it's 6 o'clock in Oklahoma City. This is Charlie Tuna. I'll be here till the hour of 9 o'clock with my Indian friend, my faithful guy, Tonto.
Oh.
I really don't know how we're going to make it. Are you people all ready to get up out there?
Oh.
Well, we're going to have to make up our minds.
5 in the lead, 8:42, time to get to the jungle. Get down.
Welcome to episode 5 of Radio What Happened. I'm Terry Bettis, along with my co-host, Jim Christofferson, and all I can say at this point is, wow. We can't say thank you enough to all the people who have downloaded and listened to the program, who have shared the program, who have commented on the program. It's really incredible.
Just goes to show that there's a lot of interest in what we're talking about and what we're sharing with everyone, too.
Let me take just a second and brag just a little bit. We have been live, so to speak, for a little over 3 weeks. And in that time, we've had listeners from 22 different states and 4 different countries.
Amazing. Just think. If we really had some great talent as the hosts, we might even do better.
Sad but true.
but the good news is we've really only scratched the surface. We have so much more to share, more interviews, more air checks, more of what we think is generating some of the buzz around the show.
Yeah, we've had a lot of comments on the air checks. So far, we've highlighted KOMA, Oklahoma City, WCFL in Chicago, WRKO in Boston, and of course WLS in Chicago, as well as some great tidbits from a very successful morning show back in the 80s on KORQ in Abilene, Texas. Today we've got another great radio station, KLIF in Dallas.
Cliff, what a great radio station. Charlie and Harrigan in the 60s, Gordon McClendon, one of the most iconic names in radio, and that great control room downtown Dallas. So many great things about this radio station. I cannot wait to hear that air check.
We were talking off air about this, but we need some input from some people. We're wondering if there was a Charlie and Harrigan and a Hudson and Harrigan.
Yeah, my brother lives in Houston. He listened to one of our earlier podcasts, and he remembered Charlie and Harrigan. But I think you're right. I think it may have been Hudson and Harrigan. I don't recall. But there were plenty of markets with Harrigans in there, and they were all different people.
Yeah. Well, I've been in that Cliff control room before, sadly not as an employee, but as a student from Elkin School of Broadcasting back in 1974 when I was just about to enter this fascinating business.
Yeah, and also on today's program, we interview John Fletcher. John is a second-generation radio guy. His father, who owned KCLE in Cleburne, also managed KXOL during their glory rock and roll days in the 60s. His father is in the Radio Hall of Fame.
Now, KXOL in Fort Worth?
In Fort Worth, yeah.
Okay, should be an interesting interview for sure. But first, as we do on every program, we want to give just a little bit of time to our sponsors. We've got to pay for this. And more importantly, to our booth announcer for the program, here's Gary.
This portion of the show is being brought to you by Gillette's new Lady Pledge, the only product on the market that waxes a woman's legs while she shaves them.
And today's guest is John Fletcher. John is a second-generation radio guy. He's the product of the Fort Worth, Texas independent school system and graduated from Pascal High School. Now, that's the same high school in Fort Worth that gave us Ben Hogan, Dan Jenkins, and, incredibly, Ginger Rogers. He graduated from TCU, where he received a tennis scholarship. John is also the son of Earl Fletcher, a member of the Broadcast Hall of Fame, who managed KXOL Radio in Fort Worth, Texas, back in the 50s and 60s, before buying a station, KCLE in Cleburne. John, welcome to the podcast.
Gentlemen, I'm happy to be here with y'all.
Hey, before we get too far into the interview, Jim's been spouting off a lot of stuff, but is it true your father actually had George Carlin on the radio as a DJ at KXOL?
Yes, he did have George Carlin, and George came to us from Shreveport, Louisiana, And George was just amazingly talented. He had his own shift from 7 to midnight, and then he would get off the air and go to this comedy club called The Cellar, where he would then do a show until about 3 o'clock in the morning. George was talking to Dad one time, and Dad says, you know, you're burning the candle at both ends, Hoss. You can't make the whole thing work, so you need to choose between comedy and radio. Dad said that, having full confidence that George would choose radio. And George said, Boss, you're right. I've been needing somebody to force me to make a choice. I quit. I'm going with comedy. Dad said, no, wait a second. That was not my intention at all. You need to think about this again. You need to quit comedy. You're incredible at radio. And not only did George leave, but he took his newsman, Jack Burns, who later became half of the Burns and Schreiber comedy team. So we lost not only one great talent, but two great talents at the same time.
Jingle Bell Rock, that's Bobby Helms in one of the come-around-every-year type songs for you there on a Christmas Eve of the Carlin Show. And this is Jolly George, ho, 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 your solid Santa. Let's see what they're doing in the newsroom right now. There. Oh, no, man, wake up. Wake that up. Sound doesn't... No, don't have it. 7:45 is the time right now. Hurry up and hang the stockings time, by the way. 15 minutes creeping up toward 8 o'clock. This is KXOL, where the other stations here, the Jim Ridgway Show.
Send in the new club.
How you doing? George Carlin here, inviting you to become a member of our big swinging KXOL teen club. Big contests, big prizes, big fun for you and all of Fort Worth's teenagers.
Wow. Again, legendary station. I remember listening to it. I used to be a DJ and the program director of KBUY, broadcasting out of Seminary South in Fort Worth. And as much as I love my own station, let me tell you, KXOL, I thought was the best top 40 station in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex.
Well, there were some good ones, but KXOL really did do a great job. They attracted outstanding talent. You know, we had Bob Schieffer, was a newsman there. We had Rod Roddy, who later became the announcer on The Price is Right, was one of the DJs. We had some really good folks out there at that time.
Yeah, I think you were just a little kid at the time, probably, but did your father manage KXOL during the Kennedy assassination, which, you know, was obviously a very infamous part of Fort Worth, Dallas history?
As a matter of fact, I have a piece of artwork on the wall. Yeah, he was managing it. I was 12 years old at the time of the assassination. I was in seventh grade. And so, yeah, KXOL's news team went into full response mode at that time. Dad had actually been at the breakfast in Fort Worth that President Kennedy spoke at that morning. Wow. And was really kind of reveling in how cool it was to have been there. We actually were at Carswell Air Force Base the night before when Air Force One landed. So that was kind of our piece of history. I have a piece of, or I have an actual sign that said, "Hooray for JFK." It was a white sign with dark blue glitter that was lettered in it. And so I have that in a little memory box.
Nice. Wow. Well, thanks for sharing. So we want to talk about you too, John Fletcher. Tell us about your career in radio as a second generation.
Well, I started off pretty briefly in Conroe, KMCO. I was getting ready to get married, and so I graduated and then was in Cleburne at KCLE from 73 to 83, 250-watt daytimer that had their traditional swap shop program that we called Trade Fair, where people would call with items to buy, sell, trade, or give away. The good news about being in Cleburne is we were 6 blocks south of Marty Electronics, and that was the genius George Marty, who made the portable transmitters that radio stations would do remote broadcasts with, and we had the opportunity to test every single new model of any piece of equipment that George Marty came out with. The other station where I was highly involved was KJNE in Waco from 1983 to 88. It was kind of a cross-country format, much like Keene in Abilene did, KYKX in Longview, and KYKS in Lufkin did, the Osborne and Reynolds stations. Yeah. We played a lot of the Eagles, Michael Martin Murphy, Alabama, and also George Strait. A pretty good number of album cuts, too. And our biggest promotion was the Incredible Prize Catalog, the same campaign that Jack McCoy developed out in San Diego and then brought to KVIL in Dallas with Ron Chapman, and then they brought it to us.
John, you've got that great radio background, but you're not in radio per se any longer, right? You're a full-service consultant?
Right, I'm a public relations consultant. And the funny thing about being a consultant, I had a client in Houston who said, that he said, I don't need you on this project. I'm using this marketing consultant and we're going to work with this radio station. And I said, when you say he's a consultant, you're saying he can put you anywhere, whatever is beneficial to you. He said, no, he can only put me on this one radio station. I said, he's a sales rep with a cool title.
Well, you know, one of the questions we want to ask everybody is, you've got a very interesting perspective on it. How do you think ownership has affected change in the industry today?
Well, the first thing is that owners used to be broadcasters who cared about their community. There were a lot of things that we would do that had no financial benefit to us, actually cost us money, but we did it because we were serving the public interest, which is what a broadcaster is required by the federal communications to do. Today's owners primarily are now investors or corporations who only care if it makes money.
That leads me into my next question. Where do you see the future of radio going in the next 10 years?
The stations that will do the relationships, that will cultivate relationships, will be the strongest ones. If you just want music, you just go to XM Radio. Radio is about local names and local voices. And so the more that stations do that, the more they're going to win.
One of my last questions is, over your career, where was the peak? What was the moment in time you look back on and go, ooh, that was the best time?
80s were awfully good when you got past the energy crisis. Country radio was crossing over into adult contemporary. Adult contemporary was crossing back over to country. So you had Ronnie Millsap being played everywhere. You had Alabama being played everywhere. You had a lot of George Strait being played everywhere. That was some of the best music that we had. Music was just so wonderful.
John, you've been a good friend for many, many, many decades, and I knew this would be great. So thank you again for being our guest.
Oh, thank you all so much. I appreciate it. And, you know, getting to hang out a little bit with a couple respected broadcasters makes it for a really fun day.
Well, that was a kind remark. I'm not sure how accurate it is, but we thanks, John. John Fletcher, our guest today on Radio What Happened.
We want to thank John Fletcher for that great interview. A lot of interesting information about radio as it was. But now to this week's air check of one of the great Dallas radio stations that shaped many a career over the last half century or so. In fact, it was generally regarded as one of the nation's biggest top 40 stations in the 50s and 60s and achieved an over 50 share in the ratings.
Wow, was that the Hooper or the Arbitron?
I don't know.
I think it was the Hooper.
Really?
Yeah.
It switched from that type format to its now talk format back in the early 80s after FM stations basically took over all of the music formats. But before that, it was one of the best at 1190 on the AM dial. So let's go back to the early 70s and enjoy this great radio station from Dallas, KLIF.
A party at a dozen past five. We truck through traffic on KLIF. That's King Harvest dancing in the moonlight. We need thousands of young people to join together in this annual march. The number again is 691-9472. KLIF trucking through traffic at 519. That's O.C. Smith, smoking, the son of Hickory Holler's tramp. Always wanted to be just like his mom. Worked for years trying to make the football team. It's 87 degrees.
Nights in white satin.
KLIF trucking through traffic at a 524 mark. Michael Pinder, Graham Edge, Justin Hayward, John Lodge, and Ray Thomas, who I understand are coming back sometime after the first of the year. Moody Blues, it's 87.
I've just come. Da-dum.
Why? Da-dum. It's the Texas Bank, of course.
KLIF is music.
Here's the first cut, released from that brand new Cliff exclusive LP from Ian Anderson and Jethro Tull. Album is called Living in the Past. This is the title song. LP should be available in the next 9 or 10 days. It's 527. Drive it carefully. KLIF, Dallas. KLIF, the station that Dallas made famous.
No one in the world.
KLIF at 534. That's Karen and Richard hurting each other. Sounds like a page from the Marquis de Sade. It's 88 degrees. The Mike Selden Show. And we were checking with the pollution people just a few minutes ago. Well, that's not really a good word for them, the pollution people. That makes them sound ugly. We're checking with the Pollution Control Center. Sounds a lot nicer. We're getting the reading on what flavor air we were sucking up today. Who is that anyway?
Bobby Goldsboro for Coca-Cola.
Mike Selden.
Quite a off the bat, you think, ah, another variation of Shaft. Sounds a little bit like it. I think the track was added later, but the song was originally recorded about 3 years ago from the Temptations from the All Directions LP, Papa Was a Rolling Stone. KLIF Cooks at 542. Temptations, Papa Was a Rolling Stone. A Mike Seldon Show for a Wednesday. Nice night for a fair. Be kind of not really cool, just kind of not hot, I guess. 65 for a low tonight. That probably won't come until after the fair closes, so, you know, who worries about jackets on a night like this? 88 degrees. I can see clearly now. Johnny Nash, first fantastic LP on the Columbia label. Now available in the record department's all Target discount stores in the Dallas area. It's also available on 8-track stereo tapes. Speak of the Devil on KLIF. Guess who at 4:45?
I can see clearly now.
I can see clearly now on KLIF. Of course, it's about 10 minutes before I go off. Really, it's about a dozen shy of 6 o'clock. I usually start, you know, clearing up by just about time to get off. It's 88 degrees outside. Jim Tabor at 9 o'clock. There's a very special season on KLIF. This fall, Paxton Mills, 6 to 10. Dave Ambrose and the Girls, 10 to 1. Michael O'Shea, 1 to 3. Mike Seldon, 3 to 6. Chuck Murphy, 6 to 9. Jim Tabor, 9 to midnight, and Cousin Lenny, all night long. 8 great reasons why, when it comes to radio, Dallas comes to KLIF.
Wow, the mighty 1190. It's a great walk through history to hear stations like that. As we add KLIF to the list of stations that we've highlighted so far on the podcast, next week we're going to go to the East Coast and hear Quixi, WQXI, in Atlanta. But remember, we don't want to forget the small and medium markets, so we're looking for some air checks from those markets too. If you want us to showcase a station that you've been a part of, please send us an air check. The email address, Terry?
RadioWhatHappened@gmail.com. And yes, we would love to hear some air checks from different markets. We can always play more than one each week. In fact, if we get enough, we could highlight a small, medium, and major market every week.
Yeah.
And speaking of Quixi in Atlanta, was that where Scott Shannon was?
Yeah. Yeah,
I believe he kind of grew up there.
Exactly. Well, one of those stations in Atlanta,
yeah.
like most of the top 40 stations back in those days, they had one or two competing. But yeah, I think it was Quixi.
You know, one thing that our audience won't realize we do is sometimes we make mistakes on purpose, hoping that someone would correct us by emailing or calling in or doing something. So I don't know if it was that radio station in Atlanta or not, but it seems like Shannon came from the Atlanta market.
Yeah, I think that's right. Well, we're about out of time again. So to wrap up this week's show, let's take one more quick listen to that Gordon McClendon station, KLIF in Dallas, as we ask our weekly question.
Radio, what happened?
KLIF recycles the Moody Blues. Michael Pinder, Graham Edge, Justin Hayward, John Lodge, and Ray Thomas. And I can tell, I can see the story in your eyes. And if you don't close them, you're going to bleed to death. It's 88 outside. At 6:10 on 50,000 watt KLIF, Chuck Murphy Radio Extravaganza for Wednesday night as we're getting it underway. Don't forget your lines to me are open right now at 747 KLIF and 747-8151.
Let me tell you about
KLIF and Rod Stewart twisting the night away. That song almost makes you want to bring out the old chubby checkered records. Your sandpaper, start sanding the sole of your shoe.
I'm up on the tie.
KLIF and Leon Russell, the album Carly, 6:15, Wednesday night time. KLIF and the Chuck Murphy Extravaganza. We'll be here till 9 tonight at 9:05. James, the Bama Boy Tabor. It's 87 degrees currently outside. What we're going to be talking about tonight?